is Over the Garden Gate, a program brought to you by the University of California Cooperative Extension Master Gardener Program of Tuolumne County. The mission of the UCCE Master Gardeners is to provide research-based gardening information to the public. If you would like to contact our Master Gardener Program, please call our hotline, which is area code 209-533-5912. The hotline is not manned full-time, but we do pick up our messages and we will get back to you within the week. Hello again, it's Linda Reevely from Over the Garden Gate. And today I'm going to tell you about my trip to Southeast Asia. And the you I'm going to tell are you in the radio and my friend Debbie Powell. So here's the deal. My husband and I were offered an opportunity to go to Southeast Asia, basically Thailand and Vietnam, for 3 weeks. We jumped on it. We were offered the opportunity on the 2nd of January and we were on the plane on the 9th.
Oh my gosh, that's so quick.
It was really...
It's practically spontaneous.
It was pretty spontaneous. You know, and we had no idea even what clothes to take, so we just sort of threw some stuff in suitcases and off we went. We started in Vietnam, or we started in Chiang Mai in Thailand, and I'd like to talk to you about that a different day. Today I want to talk to you about where we went in Vietnam, which is a beautiful old city called Hoi An. Hoi An is north, I think, of Da Nang, which is the most amazing growing metropolis. Vietnam is just booming.
So is it completely tropical? Is it a very, is it warm all year round?
We were there in January, mind you, and it's still northern hemisphere there.
Okay.
And it was, the coldest I think it ever got was maybe 60.
Okay.
At night. It mm-hmm. was warm. Okay. And the rain was warm because when we were in Hoi An, it rained on us quite a lot.
This and time of year, it sounds lovely.
It was just great. It's warm. It's beautiful. Hoi An is a very old city. It's a trading port, trading with Vietnamese, with Chinese, with to some extent Portuguese, and a lot with Japan.
Okay.
And they export, as they still do, a lot of ceramics, a lot of woodworked objects. There is a fairly significant industry in cutting and manufacturing of stones for jewelry and the manufacture of jewelry there.
Okay.
It's a lovely place. And it's not a very big place. It's just exquisite. It is on a very large river, and our hotel was right on the river. There is a wonderful old market in Hoi An that has everything you can imagine and some things you probably could never imagine, at least if you were me, including, live fish.
How about the vegetation? What does that look like? Are there...
Well, it's hard to explain. There's a lot of concrete, and there are a lot of sidewalks. And then in people's yards, there are things like coconut palms. And
okay.
We saw people come along with motor scooters and knock on people's doors. And the next thing you know, they climb up the tree and knock down a whole bunch of fresh coconuts and give the person in the house a few of them. And then they take the rest off to sell at the market.
Oh, my gosh.
Banana trees grow in people's yards.
Okay.
And they're not the kind, they're not the Cavendish, the banana we get at the store. The best ones we had in Vietnam were these small bananas about 4 inches long. And maybe not quite as fat as a Cavendish, but the flavor was mild, banana-y, and a little bit citrusy.
Oh,
and
how interesting.
They were extraordinary.
How
they were
interesting.
So good. They're right on the, just off one of the main streets in Hoi An, there are rice paddies.
It's just right there.
Right there, like looking through the house there, and there's a rice paddy behind it, a great big one.
Oh, my
gosh. This is an area where people grow a lot of rice, and they grow it right next to metropolitan areas. Rice is king.
Okay.
And they grow a lot of different varieties of rice. They grow sticky rice and long grain rice and jasmine rice and black rice and... and they do unmilled rices, brown rice, although not too many people there eat it. You have to ask specially. And they make a ton of products out of rice, all kinds of different rice noodles and flours and sweets.
Okay.
Rice is the primary grain, although you do see things with wheat and wheat flour as well. But right along the edge of the rice paddy were nurseries.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was wonderful. And some of the nurseries actually sold caged birds. And I'm not sure I understood the caged bird situation. It may have been that people were buying birds to release them at the Buddhist temple, which is considered a way to bring a little bit of grace to yourself and to your spirit.
Okay.
Somehow the spirit avoids the part where the bird got trapped in the first place, but turning it loose on it somehow. But some of those birds may have been destined for dinner.
Okay.
And some of them were probably destined to become pets, because I saw a lot of people with pet birds. And they bring the cages outside and hang them up in trees around their homes. We saw jacaranda trees in bloom, the ones with the beautiful lavender blossoms.
Those are amazing.
They are exquisite. And we saw some with pink blossoms.
Well, here you might have seen jacaranda trees in San Diego.
Exactly.
And if anybody has been in the San Diego area,
where
this massive, large trees with these purple, very, I mean,
beautiful,
probably
lacy flowers.
Yes, they're just gorgeous. Mm-hmm. So they're over there.
We saw a lot of bougainvillea.
Love bougainvillea.
It's very popular. It is an import from the Mediterranean, I think.
Right.
Not sure on that one. We saw landscape designs done with poinsettias.
Oh my gosh.
Which, because it's winter, they're blooming. And they were beautiful.
Oh my gosh. So they're used as bedding plants?
They're used
meaning
as
they're
bedders.
To cover an area.
Right.
So it's a mass planting.
Of poinsettias.
Oh, so just were they reds or whites? Or
reds.
Reds.
All reds.
I didn't
see any of the fancy colors. They were all really simple and not as large as our smaller flowered ones.
That makes sense.
But probably the most interesting thing we saw at this time of year, and we were there just before Tet, which is the lunar new year, and it was also full moon when we were there, so there were some exciting events going on because of that. But people were beginning to bring into their homes and yards kumquat trees.
Really?
And kumquats are a small orange-like fruit that when we see them in the United States, they're kind of oval, but in Asia they're almost perfectly round.
Oh my gosh.
The ones they grow. And these little trees were in pots, and they were about 5 feet tall, and they were just covered in these beautiful orange kumquats. And when we were driving through the countryside, we saw quite literally thousands of them being loaded onto trucks to be taken to cities and towns to sell to people for Tet.
Oh my goodness.
Because it's customary to give your family, your friends, and your neighbors kumquats during Tet to symbolize gold coins or bringing prosperity to your home.
How sweet. What a sweet thought.
And we're thinking that probably these trees are actually rented.
Oh.
And that you have them during the Lunar New Year, and then someone comes and picks them up and takes them back to the nursery.
It's that important to have that fresh kumquat.
Kumquat.
Oh my goodness.
Every household has them. And it's the time of year everybody goes home. If you've moved away and you live in Hanoi and your home is Hoi An, you take a few days off and go home for Tet. So your children and your family come home to you.
That's lovely, too.
It is.
Now, do the people there have their own vegetable gardens that they're attending? Did you see much of that?
There are a lot of houses that have vegetable gardens going. People often have banana trees, like I mentioned, in their yards.
Right.
They have vegetable gardens, but the vast majority of vegetables, besides just a few things you would grow at home, mostly herbs, are grown on truck farms that are around. And the availability of fruit and vegetable is just amazing. Besides, in Vietnam, even more than in Thailand, where I was completely stunned by the lack of knowledge I had about what was sitting there, Vietnam has stuff I've never seen before.
Really?
That I had no idea what it was for or what you did with it, but it's obviously an important part of the cuisine. Things like, they had big trays of what looked like grass.
What do you do with that?
And yet I'm pretty sure it was an herb.
Okay.
Hard to know when you don't speak Vietnamese.
That's true.
And the lady who's speaking Vietnamese to you has no teeth. It's very challenging to figure some of this out. But people were so helpful and so kind, and they always wanted to give you little tastes of this and that and the other thing. And it was amazing. And the gardens and the farms are just so rich with moisture, because it was winter. It was mm-hmm. raining.
Okay.
I expect that as works here with rice, the rice is flooded now, but over the course of the season, the water goes down.
Right.
So that when it's time to harvest, it's on essentially much drier ground, not mm-hmm. all thick mud.
Right.
And I say the herbs are different. They have special Chinese mint, Vietnamese mint,
okay.
that goes into those lovely little fresh spring rolls with ones with the rice paper.
Yes.
I learned how to make those. It's
Ooh.
Pretty cool. They eat a lot of lettuce.
Really?
Lettuce for breakfast.
I'll be darned.
Yeah, kind of a beautiful, nice, curly
is
leaf
there
green lettuce.
A sauce over the lettuce, or is it just lettuce?
Sometimes there's lettuce and usually maybe a few little pieces of cucumber available and fruit, and you just eat it. As near as I can tell, I didn't see any sauces being provided. Our hotel had lettuce every day for breakfast that you could have.
Oh my gosh. How fascinating.
People, and people believe in Vietnam, and I thought this was real interesting, because we went on a tour with a fellow who took us around all these different restaurants and explained a lot of cultural things to us. They are great believers in the idea of balance, and balance in your diet involves eating green things with each meal.
Oh, that is so healthy.
Is that not? And the whole idea of balance, the small amount of meat, the careful amounts of protein balanced with carbohydrates and with a lot of vegetables.
Oh,
and
my
the vegetables
gosh.
Were just beautiful. Most beautiful eggplants I've ever seen in my whole life.
Beautiful, really?
Yeah, just beautiful, beautiful food.
When food is beautiful, I think you're more interested in eating it.
I do too. And things that you don't expect in Asian cuisine that pop up fairly often in Vietnam include potatoes.
Really?
Yeah, who would have thought? Potatoes.
And any but idea they, how they prepare them? I mean,
a lot of curries use potatoes.
Oh.
A very famous curry that you run into in all of Southeast Asia, but very heavily in Vietnam, is called musselman curry. And it's a yellow curry with pork and potatoes.
It sounds great.
It's delicious. It's just so delicious. Beautiful sauce.
Mm.
It has lemongrass. And, just so good. I'll make you some. I got a recipe while I was there.
I'd love it.
But the whole idea of farming and that kind of stuff is different in a place where it's basically truck gardens, where the gardens are just outside the city and the food is brought into the market in motorbikes.
Okay, I'm trying to envision how that works.
You would have to envision. They actually have carts they pull behind the motorbikes.
Okay.
And they come in loaded, you know, 7 feet tall, tied on, all these baskets of vegetables.
Oh my goodness.
And then they carry them into wherever their market stall is, and they're all ready to go. And somebody takes the cart and parks the motorbike someplace.
So it's really grown locally.
It's grown very locally. You
know where your food has been grown.
Mm-hmm. You know, and if you shop at the market all the time, you know who grows it, and you know what's coming up next, because they'll tell you. And it's a sequence during the course of the year as to what's ripe and what you plan on cooking. And people go to the market, and then they decide what to cook, rather than the other way around.
So they're always eating in season.
They are.
Because they're forced to. Mm-hmm. I mean, but it's a wonderful way to eat.
It's a great way to eat.
It's so fresh.
Everything's fresh and just crisp and crunchy and totally delicious. And
oh,
it was
goodness.
Really, really an interesting experience. I got to the garden and the plants through the idea of food, because I'm a traveler. I'm eating food. Food becomes really interesting. But I saw varieties of things that I really wish we had. Things that we don't have.
That we don't have in our markets?
We just don't have at all.
Okay.
We don't have red papayas here.
Well, that's true.
The only papayas we get can come from Hawaii, and they're kind of orangish with
right,
the yellow skin.
Right.
All those papayas that we grow in Hawaii, and I'm sure this is going to come as a horrible shock to people, are one of the very first genetically modified organisms that we put into production.
Really?
Because papayas in Hawaii were stricken with some kind of papaya disease, and they very quickly wanted to get genes into their papayas that, because they kind of grow on large bush, small tree kind of things.
Uh-huh.
They wanted to get genes into their papaya production that was not going to die with this disease.
Okay.
And all the papayas that grow in Hawaii now are truly GMO. And it's the best kind of GMO because it solved a problem.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't cause any feedback in the environment.
Right.
And the problem was brought into Hawaii from somewhere else, and it's now been eliminated.
Okay.
But we don't grow red papayas because they're still can be infected from the soil by this organism.
Oh, how interesting.
But red papayas are amazing. And we eat mangoes all the time. Everyone eats tons of mangoes.
Oh, my gosh.
And they do have mango trees in their yards.
Oh, they do.
How
lovely.
People have mango trees.
Just go outside and pick a mango.
Pick some mangoes. And they eat green ones and fully ripe ones. Green ones in certain food preparations and fully ripe ones in others.
Okay.
Mango sticky rice is a big deal, mostly in Thailand, but also some in Vietnam. And it's sticky rice, no kidding,
mm-hmm.
kind of a nice little serving of rice with a lot of fresh mango pieces put beside it. And then the sticky comes from a boiled down coconut milk that you pour over all of this.
Oh.
And this coconut milk stuff, it's about the consistency of condensed milk.
Huh.
Except it's made from coconuts, and it's so good.
It sounds wonderful.
It's also fabulous in coffee.
Ooh.
I almost got addicted. It's really, really good. But coconuts, bananas, mangoes.
That sounds wonderful.
Papayas, lots and lots of lettuce, lots and lots of lovely fresh vegetables.
Different varieties of lettuce? Could you identify the varieties of lettuce?
You know, the kind of lettuce I saw was almost entirely a curly green leaf.
Oh, okay.
I think that people do eat some romaine and that it just was not produced quite yet because I see it in the catalogs for Asian seeds. That there's a couple of Asian romaines. But mostly it was this lovely curly leaf, very crunchy, very fresh, perfect lettuce.
Mm.
And I saw it everywhere. All kinds of places.
How wonderful. Now, just kind of curious, after having this experience, are you going to try growing some of the greens?
I actually tried to bring seeds home, but it turns out that the federal government won't let you import seeds without a permit, so they took my seeds away in the San Francisco airport, apologized profusely, and waved me through. But I have since purchased seeds for Vietnamese mint and a number of other kind of things that are essentially South Asian sorts of things, Thai basil, Vietnamese mint. I plan on growing something called culantro this year.
That
culantro it's kind of vaguely related, this is so weird, to artichokes, but it's a ways off from artichokes. And it has these it grows, you can grow in a pot, a 5-gallon pot, you can put three of these plants in there. It's a cilantro flavored herb. It's stronger than cilantro. It doesn't bolt like cilantro does. And it has kind of like, I would say paddle-shaped leaves that come from a center stem, and you just pull them off and cook them, and they have big, long tap roots with these things. So when it comes time in the fall when you think it's going to get too cold for them, you apparently pull the whole plant up and just let it dry with the tap root attached, and it keeps the flavor in the leaf, and then you can use the leaf dried during the winter.
How wonderful.
And it's very popular in Southeast Asian cuisine. And it is a kind of cilantro flavor without the soapiness that a lot of people object to with cilantro.
Because some people, they just totally
hate it.
They do.
But culantro
cilantro.
While it's a bit stronger, doesn't have that soapy overtone that some people find objectionable in cilantro.
That is so intriguing. But going back to Vietnamese mint, what is different about that mint? Is it similar to peppermint, spearmint?
It's a lemon mint.
Oh, it's a lemon mint.
It is. It has It has kind of lemony overtones. And they tend in a lot of Vietnamese cooking to use tiny little leaves off it. They just pull these tiny little leaves off the stems.
Okay.
And people do grow that in their yards, and they just go out, pull it up, and put it in food. Just that quick and easy.
Sounds wonderful.
And I got seeds for that. You can buy seeds for that online. And
you said Thai basil. Now, I know Thai basil usually is available here.
Exactly. We can buy Thai basil.
Right, we can
Siam
do that.
Siam Queen being a very famous variety.
Yes.
There are also Thai purple basils.
Mm-hmm.
I know you're familiar with purple basil.
Right.
There are also Thai purple basils that look pretty interesting.
Oh, yes. That would just be beautiful.
Be really pretty.
Really pretty in the garden.
And I like Thai basil. It tastes a bit different than regular basil. It's a little spicier, I think.
Yes, yes.
And then, of course, there's chilies.
Oh.
And chili is a huge component of Southeast Asian food. Heat.
Okay.
Because, again, it's a balance. If you eat hot things, you tend to feel cooler.
Interesting.
Partly, I think, because it makes you sweat, but I don't know. but these red chilies were everywhere.
Huh.
And they're maybe 3 to 4 inches long, about as big as round as your finger.
How spicy are those red chilies?
Some of them will knock your head off.
Oh,
quite frankly, some of them are so hot.
Sore.
But mostly, they're pretty doable. They're not a whole lot hotter than, say, a nice jalapeno would be.
Okay.
I know that on the farmer's market that I help out with some in the summertime, my farmer, Jordan Lowry, does grow various kinds of Thai chilies.
Oh.
And I intend to use a lot more of them in my food this year because I now understand how to get them there and how to use them in a balance.
Okay. With the cooking in Vietnam, using the Thai chilies, are some dishes just a little hint of heat, or is it pretty spicy?
For the most part, in Vietnam, food was not horribly spicy. In Thailand, some of it can be very spicy. And you really have to ask, when you're getting your food, how much spiciness you want to have. Because they're very accommodating, and they do what you ask them to do about food, especially in the chili department. But in Vietnam, I didn't run into anything I thought was overly hot anywhere.
Oh, interesting.
It was just so good. Mm-hmm. And I had a chance to eat twice at the banh mi shop that Anthony Bourdain featured in his show on Vietnam.
Really? And I do love that show.
And it was so good.
Oh.
Banh mi is a sandwich. It's a very simple sandwich made on a little kind of French roll with a very crispy outer crust and a kind of soft center. And the traditional banh mi has, it's called pâté. It's kind of like liver sausage, maybe a little bit of that, and pork slices and lettuce and a little bit of herb addition and sometimes a little mayonnaise just to soften things up. It's just delicious. Banh mi is terrific.
That sounds wonderful.
And they come in all different kinds. I had a barbecue pork one that was really good too.
That sounds great too.
It was just Hoi An is lovely, and it's particularly lovely in the evening. There's a kind of inlet off the river there where there's businesses and shops and restaurants on both sides of the river and a beautiful bridge, beautiful, lovely bridge that you can drive over or walk over. Most people walk over at night and nobody drives because they close down the traffic in this whole area. And there's a night market. And the island is called An Hoi.
Oh.
Hoi An and An Hoi.
Right, right.
And at night, in order to celebrate the full moon, there's these beautiful little boats that all of a sudden sort of arrive on this thing with these lovely electric lights that just light up, in lotus leaf shapes and all these different shapes and things. And you can ride around in these little boats on the water.
Sounds so nice.
people sell these lantern, these paper lantern things. You put a mm-hmm. candle in and you float out on the water.
Oh.
So this whole inlet is just sparkly beautiful.
Oh, gosh.
And you see the motion of the water and all these beautiful reflections.
Oh, it sounds so beautiful.
It was just lovely.
I have to ask you, because I know you've produced really wonderful vegetable gardens in the past here, and you do grow some really interesting items, which are always a little bit different. Was there anything else that you're going to try to grow as far as getting seeds?
Well, I have a list, actually.
You have a list?
I do. I have a list. And let me get my little notebook here, and I'll tell you what I was thinking. First of all, I was looking at planting garlic chives.
Okay.
You know regular chives,
right,
which they use a lot of in Vietnamese cooking.
Okay.
But there's also garlic chives, which are a little bit bigger and coarser and do have a bit of a garlic flavor.
Yes.
And they're so good in soup and broth.
Oh,
so planted garlic
idea.
Chives this year. I have in the past grown perilla.
Perilla.
Or shiso.
Shiso, what is that?
It's a bush about 2.5-3 feet high. It has leaves that are probably 3 inches long by an inch wide. They're a little bit spicy. They're very interesting to eat raw. You can cook them. Shiso is used as like almost part of salads.
Okay.
All across. I've had shiso. Jordan Lowry's grown shiso. Mm-hmm. No one ever seems to want to buy it from the garden, but
right.
I'll tell you, it's a prime ingredient, and it's not, you don't think of it as like the top end flavor, but it's a real filler. Sometimes
okay.
it has little cinnamony overtones.
Ooh,
it's really
that sounds
lovely.
Wonderful in salads.
And it's really pretty. And
ooh.
So I'm going to grow some more shiso this year.
That's always a bonus when it's pretty.
Yeah. I'm going to grow, and the reason I'm going to do this is because I bought something in Vietnam. I'm going to grow Danvers half core carrot. Danvers 126 half longs. And a Danvers carrot is a short carrot, and it's
okay.
a fat little carrot.
Oh.
In Vietnam, I couldn't find the variety they grow there. They grow these big fat carrots. They're probably 6 inches around big. I mean, they're
wow.
big fat carrots.
Wow.
And I bought this tool in
uh-huh.
Vietnam that you stick the carrot in this thing that looks like a funnel with a cutter on one side, twist the carrot in the funnel, and it produces what you might expect, a kind of paring of the outside of the carrot
oh.
that you can make into roses.
Oh,
they're
I love that.
So cute. So I want to grow carrots, because the long skinny ones take a lot of work. I'm going to go for the short fat ones, because I think that's going to work better. I am going to grow some Thai chilies.
Okay.
But I think I can count on Jordan for growing them as well.
Okay.
So I just will put a few of those in. Other things I plan on this year that aren't related to Southeast Asia include espalette peppers.
Espalette peppers. I've never heard of it.
Espalette is a Basque pepper. Comes
oh.
from southern France, northern Spain. And they're grown and harvested and dried, and it's the powder you use,
oh.
not the fresh pepper. People
okay.
complain mightily about the fresh peppers. The powder is apparently just exquisite, and it's used a lot in Basque cooking, and I'm kind of fond of a lot of Basque dishes.
I bet.
I intend to grow padrones, although
and
padrone peppers.
Oh, okay.
They're those little peppers. They're 2.5-3 inches long, little slightly curvy light green peppers that you saute in a little bit of oil. And then Persian cucumbers. That's the other one thing
oh.
I want to get in my cucumbers. Because they're a little bit softer in some respects.
Okay.
And I've gotten way into smashed cucumber salads.
Smash cucumber salad.
Yep, you just put them in a plastic bag and bash the way out of them with a rolling pin, and then break the little pieces
uh-huh.
up and toss it with lettuce and dressing. They're delicious.
Wow, I'm gonna have to try that.
So good. So that's my garden plans.
That is a wonderful plan, and of course we're gonna be talking again in the future. But for right now, we ran out of time. Thank
well,
you, Linda.
It's
always fun.
Good to talk.
Okay. Bye-bye.
See you soon. Bye.